they probably don't even make the top 10 list. The three key ingredients that led to their major successes are 1. Their ability to communicate their core vision, values, and why. 2. Their belief that, in order to attract top talent, they must first lead by providing real value. A simple way to understand this is, the more value you bring, the more in demand you become. 3. Their understanding of how to communicate these things in the digital world. The first two of those key ingredients have always mattered, going back hundreds of years. Our new digital landscape now has created a need for the third. And that third ingredient creates a massive advantage in how many people can connect to a leader and have visibility into who they are without that leader having to sell themselves. Those three things, when used together, create what I have defined as the value gap, which gives recruiting leaders a massive advantage in the digital world. A helpful way to look at it is through the understanding of reciprocity. Reciprocity is simply a relationship in which two people perform mutual actions based on the actions of the other. Basically, people are social creatures. We mirror the behaviors and tasks that have already been modeled for us. It's a basic human trait. Think back to middle school. If another kid didn't invite you to their birthday party, you probably wouldn't invite them to yours either. On the other hand, once you've been to a friend's birthday, you feel like you should invite them to yours as well. At that age, it's hardly even a conscious process. It's just what's fair. We want to give others what they give to us. As we grow and get a little more conscious of our social dealings, this process only increases. If someone sends us an encouraging email, then we want to be able to encourage them as well. We think something like, "Jared was so kind while I was struggling. I hope I can help him out as well." As leaders and recruiters, however, we need to know that we have to be the ones to start that chain of reciprocity. We have to be the ones to model the behavior, rather than the ones who wait and reciprocate. As Robert Cialdini put it, reciprocity is part of a healthy ongoing relationship. Nurture it by giving before asking for a request. Basically, an effective recruiting leader understands that when they provide value and care to others, they are more likely to receive that value and care in return. When you give before asking for a request, people are more likely to want to give back. I remember reading Robert Cialdini's book Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion as a young 20-something salesperson. His 6 principles of influence all left an impression on me. And acting on them led to early success, not only in outside sales, but also in my life overall. Needless to say, I recommend the book. Around the same time, I was also impacted by Brian Tracy's take on the law of reciprocity. Simply put, give value and people feel inclined to give value in return. It's a human principle. It is how we have been hardwired. Persuasion by reciprocation is based on the law of reciprocity. It's considered by many to be the most powerful law of human nature. Brian Tracy. A lot of recruiting leaders get this principle. It's pretty elementary human behavior, after all. But all too many haven't understood how to use the digital world as a way of accelerating the law of reciprocity. There is a disconnect when it comes to social media. They simply see these platforms as places to sell, sell, sell. Somewhere along the way, the early days of LinkedIn confused them into believing these platforms are places only meant to advertise "we are hiring" in their news feeds. It also has them believing that there is a direct connection between sending right hooks into their prospects' DMs, direct messages, and expecting people to respond positively. But how often do you respond positively to an internet ad? Personally, I either ignore them or get outright annoyed by them. The challenge is how much noise is created in the digital world. In 2007, the market research firm Yankelovich estimated that the average person saw up to 5,000 ads per day. Fast forward to 2022, and you will find most marketers agree that we see between 6,000 and 10,000 ads every single day. Let that sink in for a moment. Scroll through your social media, and you will find every 2 to 3 posts is a sponsored ad. The billboard sign is now digital, and it flashes something new every few seconds. I did this exercise myself. The page I just left on Google had 3 ads in the single view I was in. The article I read earlier on my phone had ads all over it. If we join them by approaching social media like an ad campaign, we are just contributing to this noise, and will get drowned out right along with it. The basic truth is, people are drowning in noise, but starving for value. This is where most recruiting leaders get stuck. They are tempted to throw up their hands, saying there is no value to be had in the digital world when it comes to recruiting. This, of course, would be a mistake. But as they say, you don't know what you don't know until you know something different. A few months ago, I met with a recruiting leader. I mentioned him earlier, but let's go into more detail here. He came across my podcast, Recruiting Conversations, and asked to meet virtually. I said yes because I believe in bringing value before asking for value to be given, and over the course of an hour, I got to understand what he was trying to accomplish. In short, he had joined a new company that had a very lucrative model for anyone who could build teams. With each team he built, he would make passive income off of it. In his excitement, he went out and bought a lead list of 16,000 salespeople in his industry. He spent $8,000 doing so. He then thoughtfully laid out a game plan for spamming the heck out of the 16,000 people. He didn't use the word spamming, but it's the only word I can think of for his methods. He was texting, emailing, and calling people over and over again, asking if they were open to a better opportunity. Now, remember what we've already said about better. He wasn't really offering anything different. He was essentially just promising the status quo. At the time we connected, he was 4 months into his plan without much success. He had only hired several low producers who he was now wishing he hadn't hired. Needless to say, he was ridiculously frustrated. He believed it was his scripting that was causing a lack of results and wanted help changing it to something that would work. There were two disconnects in his efforts. One, he lacked a good core value system at the heart of his campaign. Two, he wasn't offering his contacts anything of value. Ultimately, he missed the need to create a value gap. His first disconnect. His only intentions were self-focused. Build passive income, create freedom for himself. I asked him, "What's in it for the people you recruit?" His response lacked any real conviction that much value would be found in it for his recruits. Where some people were forming their vision, values, and why, his core value system came down to me, myself, and I. It was wrapped up in him winning. End of story. I find this to be a common theme among leaders struggling to build teams. The second disconnect. He had zero intentions of bringing anyone any real value. He wanted quick wins simply by inviting people to a lucrative income opportunity, should they be able to crack the growth code. This was ironic, considering he hadn't cracked it himself. He brought zero value. Let me retract that statement. He brought negative value. He just added to the noise. Remember all those ads on your phone? Ask yourself how many of them made you want to follow them. Anyone who adds to this noise risks not just being ignored, but also being regarded with disgust. Is that the response you want from a recruit? After an hour of discussing his goals, I gave him my best input. I said, "If you want to win in a big way, you must move to a heart posture of bringing value before you ask for value. The more value you bring, the more in demand you will become." Attractive leaders who develop a better core value system look for ways to bring real and tangible value to people. It was as though I was speaking a foreign language to him. He truly seemed confused by my thoughts around this. This would require him to engage in a thoughtful plan of pursuit, but he didn't seem to recognize the problem with his current, not very thoughtful plan. Remember the farming metaphor from earlier? This guy was a hunter, and he didn't even realize how much all the noise he was making was scaring away his targets. I wanted him to take up farming, but he knew that it would take time and effort. Instead, he kept looking for the guaranteed bait, shortcut, or secret method that would let him be successful without having to put in any real work. I told him, do some research, use better scripting, engage in a meaningful conversation, find out your prospect's big dream for where they want to go, and find out their greater why for what they are doing. Then, if you could help them accomplish their dream aligned with their why, pursue them with that. One prerequisite I gave him was this: be committed to helping them accomplish their dream through the lens of their why at all costs. This wasn't impossible, but I was asking him to scale what typically seems unscalable. He left the meeting with what I sensed was more frustration than when he arrived. What he failed to connect was that recruiting done correctly is more like courtship, minus the romance part. Courtship is behavior designed to pursue someone, but the number one rule is that you have to show an interest in them. We've all been on a bad date with someone who only talked about themselves and what they had to offer, without ever asking about who we are. Again, it's a bad date, and it's a bad way to treat anyone. On the other hand, a genuine connection, romantic or not, is an incredibly affirming process. I was on a podcast a few years ago, and the host asked me what the biggest mistake being made by recruiters today was. My team turned my response into an 8-minute kinetic-style video that went viral. I discussed how we treat recruiting like a $29 widget sale when we should be courting our recruits. Over the course of the past few years, I have seen again and again leaders have the kind of success that most don't believe is possible, and they do so in relatively short windows of time. Those leaders follow a digital blueprint that is the antithesis of the hunter story. There are a number of things that contribute to these leaders' success, and those things are mostly tied to value creation and affirmation. When they connect with their recruits, they lead with real affirmation because they have used information available in the digital world to create meaningful conversations quickly. There is more information available today than ever in the history of the planet. And for a recruiter, this is great news. Information is helpful for warming up a relationship before we ever make contact over the phone. For example, if you look me up on social media, here are a few quick points you will find. I am family-centered. My wife Leah and I have been married for 24 years and have 4 children and 1 grandson. I love the outdoors. I run several times a week. I am crazy about recruiting and data around recruiting. I host a podcast called Recruiting Conversations. I love Jesus. All of these make for conversation starters and are ways for someone to connect and immediately engage me. In fact, I recently had a COO for a multi-billion-dollar company reach out. The conversation started like this. Richard, you don't know me, but I feel like I know you. My CEO asked me to reach out as you have come up in a number of conversations at our company over the past year. We are looking for a chief strategy officer, and we believe that you have exactly what we are looking for. We have listened to your podcast, studied your content through social media, read your articles, and we love what you stand for with your values. We believe you are exactly the type of person who would bring a lot of value to our employees and company and help us grow. With that said, my CEO has asked if you would be willing to take his call so he could tell you more about this position. Let me pause and say, this COO gets it. Of course, I am not going anywhere. Nothing can pry me away from my calling here at 4C. But because he had done his research and led by affirming me, I took his CEO's call and connected with him. At that point, he had made me believe that even if I didn't take the role, I could gain some value from the meeting. I pulled an all-nighter about 20 times in 2017. I worked probably another 200 nights that year, where, after getting my kids to bed around 10 o'clock p.m., I came back to my office and stayed up late, pounding away at my computer screen until 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock a.m. Anyone who's gone without sleep knows how that feels. Your head hurts, your stomach churns, and your whole headspace falls apart when you're exhausted. I was about 45 years old, way past the days when you could stay up all night without any repercussions. So why was I doing this to myself? I had spent 15 years as a recruiting leader in the mortgage industry. I'd opened over 20 offices across the United States. I had a loving wife, amazing kids, and a wealth of personal friendships and business partnerships. I was, by most markers, successful until I realized there was much more to do. In my years of experience as a leader expected to recruit for my team, I discovered that recruiting coaching resources were severely lacking. Leaders were expected to recruit with little to no training. Best practices were often out of date hand-me-downs from a Google search. So when I first started my leadership journey, I sought every book, podcast, and every bit of information I could find to help me grow. And I did grow. I opened office after office. But when I was offered a senior recruiting position, I knew it was time for me to leave that space and move on. That experience showed me that I could step in and fill that void where the training was lacking. There's a common phrase when we don't think a problem is important. I wouldn't lose any sleep over it. But once I recognized this problem and my ability to do something to solve it, I realized something powerful. I would lose sleep over this, because it is something that is worth losing sleep over. The problem was this. There was, and still is, a severe lack of coaching or guidance for recruiting leaders. Many still believed that recruiting was a mysterious and opaque field where success was more a measure of luck than skill. Many believed that recruiting wasn't important at all. The field had negative connotations associated with it, resulting in a negative interest in recruiting. The people most hurt by this lack of support were recruiting leaders. Many had been tossed into the position without any idea of what to do or how to do it. There was next to no training on how to recruit. My experience had taught me that recruiting was a field, like any other, where you could learn tools to be more effective and successful. To that end, I had decided to start 4C Recruiting, a company that would recognize the unique needs required of these leaders. We would work to train them in the principles of effective and compassionate recruiting and leadership. We would work to be a support for them in a field that was sorely lacking in support. I believed it was a company that had value and would add value to people's lives, and for that, I was ready to lose some sleep. At the time, in 2017, I had one client. I had just one employee, too, myself. We have grown from that humble beginning into a team of 40 people who devote their time to serving recruiting needs. We've gained skills and knowledge to help these leaders ideate their visions and connect more effectively with their teams and each other. When I started 4C, on one of those sleepless nights, I made a long-term vision that by 2027, we would positively impact the lives of at least 10,000 recruiting leaders through our dedicated service. Since 2017, we've made many steps towards that goal. We've helped leader after leader see greater success. This book is another step in achieving that goal. We've identified another need and another way that we can help recruiting leaders. Specifically, I'm talking about needs within the digital space. Since my heyday as a recruiting leader, and even in the years since 2017, we have all seen major shift after major shift happening in the recruiting space. More and more, the digital world has become a vital aspect of how we recruit and how we lead. However, there is a severe lack of training for leaders in managing these systems and successfully recruiting using the powerful tools provided by digital and social media. Throughout this book, we'll be providing exercises, evidence, tricks, hacks, and case studies to help recruiting leaders see success in the digital world. We've also included a QR code at the end of the book to allow you access to even more resources. Our goal is that this book will provide recruiting leaders with concrete information and tips to help them navigate the ever-changing world of social media. The information compiled here represents a collective wealth of knowledge. My experience as a recruiting leader, along with the social media expertise and know-how of the 4C team. The hope is that every listener of this book will represent another step toward our goal of helping 10,000 leaders to be more effective, valuable, and attractive to their teams and to top recruits. It's like the title says, we want to help you dominate recruiting in a digital world. To that end, we'll start broad by answering two questions that may seem deceptively simple but are certain to be on the mind of many readers, recruiters, and others. 1. Why does recruiting matter? 2. How have digital and social media changed recruiting? The answers to these two questions will lead to a third. 3. Why must recruiting leaders humanize themselves on social media? Now that we've stated our mission and purpose in sharing this information, we'll jump right into the first question.